the pride of both the worlds. From east to west, his praises soar. The pride of both worlds forevermore. The pride of both the worlds. The pride of both the worlds.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome once again to our program, The Pride of Both Worlds. Alhamdulillah, a beautiful topic in regards to the generosity of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A beautiful topic has been given. Stay tuned till the end and attain a lot of knowledge in regards to this topic. And alhamdulillah, we have our guest, Hazrat Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Kaleem Al-Madani. Assalamu alaykum
wa rahmatullah.
Inshallah, we will listen to them in regards to this topic, and we will attain a lot of benefit from them as well. Before we begin the topic, let us hear some virtues of sending salawat upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna awjaakum yawm al-qiyamati min ahwaliha wa mawatiniha aktharukum alayya salatan fi dari dunya. O people, indeed, on the Day of Judgment, the person who will swiftly attain deliverance from its horrors and accountability will be the one among you who has recited Durood Sharif upon me abundantly in the world. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Abdullah rahmatullahi alayhi narrates, I had the honor of meeting the Muadhin of the Prophet Sayyiduna Hazrat Bilal Habshi radiyallahu ta'ala an. So I asked him about the expenditures of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He told me that whatever wealth the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had, it was my responsibility to spend it. Subhanallah. When any destitute Muslim came to him, he would direct me to take a loan from someone, buy a shawl, clothe the person, and also provide food. One day, a non-Muslim came to me and said, O Bilal, do you not take a loan from anyone other than me? I have abundant of wealth. I complied, i.e. from then on, whenever a loan was needed, I took it from him. One day, as I made wudu and stood to call the adhan, I saw that non-Muslim along with several merchants came to me, and he started to scold me harshly, saying, there are only 4 days left until the due date of the loan repayment. If you do not repay the loan within this time, I will make you a slave and make you herd goats. Hearing this, I became very worried. So after Salatul Isha, I presented myself in the blessed court of the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and humbly said, O Messenger of Allah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. That non-Muslim from whom I take a loan has said such and such to me. Please allow me to go to those people who have embraced Islam until Allah Almighty grants his messenger so much wealth that my debt is paid off. Saying this, I left. When I intended to leave in the morning, someone came running to me and said, O Bilal, the messenger of Allah has called you. When I reached there, I saw that there were 4 camels loaded with goods. I sought permission to enter, and the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, congratulations, Allah Almighty has arranged for the repayment of your debt. He then asked, did you see the 4 camels? I said, yes. He said, take these camels and take the goods loaded on them and repay your debt with them. I complied and I did as instructed. I then went to the masjid and greeted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with salam, who asked, what benefit did you gain from that wealth? I replied, Allah Almighty has repaid all the debt that was on his messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked, is there any remaining wealth? I said, yes. He then said, disassociate me from that as well. I will not go home until it is settled. After Salatul Isha, he called me again and asked about the remaining wealth. I said, it is still with me. No one has come to ask for it. The greatest Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent the night in the masjid. The next day after Salatul Isha, he called me again and I said, oh Ya Rasulullah, Allah Almighty has disassociated you from it, i.e. the wealth has been distributed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hearing this, he proclaimed the takbir and thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madinah channel, from this parable, we come to know that how generous the beloved Rasul of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu alayhi wasallam is. He did not like to keep worldly wealth with himself. Instead, he would only be content when he had distributed it among the people. Despite his own needs, he would give charity to the poor and needy to the extent that they would not need to ask again. Unfortunately, our condition is such that the love of the world does not diminish from our hearts, and we are always preoccupied with increasing worldly blessings and comforts. Dear viewers of Madinah channel, within this parable, we come to know that how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not hoard wealth for himself. Rather, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam thought about others. Others were first. In his mind, he thought about other individuals. He wanted to help that individual. Alhamdulillah, within the UK, there are many individuals who are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a lot of wealth. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so much, then we need to think and we need to ponder that instead of hoarding wealth for ourselves, we should distribute it amongst those who are in need of it. We should help those who are in need of it. Look, the way the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would help individuals to such an extent that they would not be in need of help anymore. We should try to help those in need, and we should try to give them money, give them clothes, food, etc., etc., and not just think about ourselves. No doubt that when somebody gives charity, sadaqah, it does not decrease that person's wealth. Rather, it increases it as well. And then again, look, that Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, he was in charge of the money that would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was given that job, that one agenda, that you distribute and you utilize that money where you deem fit. Subhanallah, when he radiallahu ta'ala an would take a loan from rich individuals and give it to the poor, the debt that would come onto him, he would become so worried and he would hasten in giving that debt back. In today's society, we take a debt and we think and we forget about it. You know, they have said, it's a famous saying, unfortunately, it's a saying nowadays, that if you want to disassociate from somebody, if you want to befriend someone, if you want to fall out with someone, lend them a debt, give them a loan, and that will cause you to your, that will cause your friendship to finish. You know, nowadays when we take a debt, when we take a loan from someone, we make promises, but we don't fulfill those promises. Look at this, that Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, he would hasten in giving the debt back. He would try his best to give the goods back that he had borrowed and finish that debt off from that individual. Remember, a debt is not something which is good. Remember, when a person has passed away, if he has an outstanding amount of debt to give back, he will not be forgiven up until that debt is returned to the rightful owners. So therefore, dear viewers of Madinah channel, when it comes to giving, we should first of all think who we are giving it to. Are we giving it to worthy people? Or are we giving it to people who we think that are going to benefit us? Number one. And number two, when we take a loan, we should act upon our word and we should hasten in giving our debt back. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be generous and give money to the poor and the needy. I would like to move to Ustaz Sab to further expand on the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. Generosity is a sifa, a quality, an attribute that all believers should strive to attain. After all, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the most generous in creation. He gave to those in need. He gave to one and all. And when we look at generosity, what's the opposite? Stinginess, miserliness, being a bakhil. The Arabic word for stinginess and miserliness is bakhil or bukhl. And our Prophet ﷺ was the opposite. SubhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ taught us through his life that having wealth in and of itself isn't bad. But what you do with that wealth will determine how you are dealt with in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the world is sweet and lush, and whoever earns wealth in it through lawful means and spends it in rightful ways, Allah Almighty will reward them and enter them into Jannah, paradise. And whosoever earns wealth in it through unlawful means and spends it in wrongful ways, Allah Almighty will enter them into Darul Hawan, the abode of disgrace. In the tashrih of this hadith, in the commentary, Allama Abdul Rauf Munawi rahimahullah ta'ala states in Faidul Qadir, it is understood that the world itself is not inherently bad, as it is a means of cultivating the hereafter. Whoever acquires something from the world with the permission of Sharia, it will assist them in the hereafter. So having wealth in and of itself isn't a bad thing. But whether you allow that wealth to make you mutakabbir, arrogant, miserly, or that wealth becomes a means of you oppressing others, that's a different matter altogether. Because then you're utilizing that wealth in a wrong way. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had wealth, but he showed us how to use it as well. So for example, in one narration, we're told, subhanAllah, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing Asr prayer, leading the Asr prayer. After the Asr prayer, he hastened towards his house quickly. And the companions were surprised because the Prophet alaihi wasallam didn't normally do that. And the Prophet alaihi wasallam explained that he remembered during the prayer, during the salah, that there was some gold in his house, which was intended for charity. And he left it at home. And he did not like that night would fall while it remained there. It still remained there. So he went home and instructed for it to be distributed. Sahih al-Bukhari.
Subhanallah.
Meaning the Prophet alayhi salam was so restless that why is that money in my home? Obviously, that's a level where it was unique to him. Because this is our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who once said to his companion, Sayyiduna Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, Abu Dharr, he mentions this narration. He says that one day I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we saw Mount Uhud. And the Prophet alayhi salam said, if this mountain were to turn into gold for me, dhahab, gold, I would not like that even a single dinar remains with me for more than 3 days.
Allah.
Except for the portion that I keep for repaying debts. As you mentioned, paying debts is very, very important. It's paramount and significant in Islam. But what do these narrations tell us time and time again? These narrations tell us that having wealth in and of itself is not evil or shar or bad. What you do with that wealth will decide your fate. You give it in the way of Allah. You give it in charity. You give it to those worthy. You give it to the orphans. You help your own blood relatives out. You know they're in need. This is another problem, Ahmed Saab, ke, in this day and age, you may have a family member, your own blood relative, who's in need. You know they're in need, but you're sending the money across the world to someone else. Remember, you should send it there as well, wherever you can. But double reward for giving to your own relative. But we forsake that, we abandon that. Now, some people may not give in the way of Allah or are not generous or don't allow this sifa to become manifest in themselves because they have a lack of tawakkul or lack of faith. And they think, if I give, then my wealth is decreasing. Right? If my wealth decreases, then I won't be wealthy. But look at the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ solved all of these waswase, these things that could arise in our mind more than 14 centuries ago. The Prophet ﷺ said, as is stated in Sahih Muslim, charity does not decrease wealth. مَا نَقَسَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ. Allah increases the honor of a slave who forgives. And whoever humbles themselves for the sake of Allah, he elevates them. Three things were mentioned in the hadith. Number one, The Prophet ﷺ said, Sadaqah does not decrease wealth. And saying to the Ummah that, oh Ummah, spend your wealth will not decrease.
Hmm.
Why do we hold back? Right? Nobody's saying that you have to do exactly as the Prophet ﷺ did, and whatever is in your home, give it all in the way of Allah. Nobody's saying that. But we need to show some level of generosity, right?
Hmm.
And there's everyday examples where we can demonstrate that generosity. We've probably heard many examples like this, yeah? Where friends go out for a meal.
Hmm.
5 friends, 7 friends, 10 friends. There's a function or there's a get-together to commemorate something, right? But those friends, because they've been friends for a while, they know regarding each other who's generous, who's not. So, unwillingly, you'll still have it in your mind that so-and-so's not going to pay anything towards it because that's not his adat. Then a few people are left to pick up the bill. They know that that person never pays. But the question here is, why should it be left like that? Why should it be the case that until you die, you know, you take that stinginess to the grave with you? No, we should change that habit, right? We know people who are like that. If we're like that ourselves, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove that bad sifa from us of stinginess. But when you spend on others, it comes back to you. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses you as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very generous. And look at this hadith. Subhanallah. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Sayyidun Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma narrates. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the most generous of all people. Ajwadun nas. The most generous of all people. Meaning when it comes to generosity, no one can come close to the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even Imam Busiri rahimahullah beautifully mentions this in his famous Qasida Burda. He describes the other messengers of Allah as seeking from the ocean of blessings given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, وَكُلُّهُمْ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مُلْتَمِسٌ غَرْفًا مِنَ الْبَحْرِ أَوْ رَشْفًا مِنَ الدِّيَمِ. Right? That everyone seeks from the oceans that are overflowing, the oceans of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the hadith, Sayyidun Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu writes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most generous of all people. And his generosity would peak during Ramadan when Jibreel alayhi salam would meet him. Jibreel alayhi salam would come every night in Ramadan and the greatest Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite the Quran with him. Thus, the greatest Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more generous than the fast blowing wind. Our Prophet alayhi salam was so generous. In the dunya, he exhibited generosity. In the akhirah, he's going to show his generosity. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he makes us mustahiq and worthy of that generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. But of course, we need to show generosity ourselves as well.
Subhanallah. Beautifully mentioned by Ustaz Sab. When he talks about the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is a lesson for each and every single one of us to give sadaqah, give zakat. Zakat is farz upon every single person when an individual reaches the nisab. Sadaqah, we should give that, especially to those who are in need, right? This is a emphasis that I would put on, because a lot of the times where it is that we are giving it to someone, but we neglect our own family members. So first, you have to look within your family. If we have any family who are in need of money, you know, zakat is applicable to them, sadaqah is applicable to them. We need to give it to them first. Then comes the rest. First we help our own blood out, and then we help others as well. Hazrat Ata Khursani radiallahu ta'ala and narrates that the greatest and final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, shake hands with each other, i.e. greet with a handshake, as it removes grudges, and send gifts to each other, as it increases love and removes enmity. Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he writes, these two actions, i.e. handshaking and giving gifts, are very effective. By regular shaking hands, enmity does not develop. And if it does occur, it does not last due to its blessings. Similar, giving gifts to each other removes animosities. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, remember, whether it is the exchange of gifts or any other transaction, only lawful means should be adopted, because consuming, wearing, or using wealth obtained through unlawful means in any way is haram and sinful. Its punishment in this world is a lack of wealth, disgrace, and a lack of blessings. And in the hereafter, it leads to the painful punishment of the blazing fire of hell. You know, you see, this is another issue in our society. You see, ijara, ujra, this is an entire science. And, you know, those who do work, you have to study this as this science as well. Ijara, ujra, when you're earning money, etc. What I mean by this is that a lot of individuals, unfortunately, when they might think that they're earning halal, but initially they are earning, what they are earning is unlawful and haram. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that whoever earns unlawful wealth and then gives it in charity, it will not be accepted from him. You know, a lot of people say that, okay, I've earned it unlawfully, I'll just give to the masjid, I'll give it to somebody else, I'll give zakat, I'll give sadaqah, this and that, and they think that is fine. That is not even accepted. You might be thinking that you probably earned it unlawfully. Number one, you have earned haram. That is a sin in itself. And then you try to justify it by giving sadaqah with that money. That sadaqah is not even accepted as sadaqah. If it spends it, there will be no blessing in it. And if it leaves it behind, it will be a provision for him in hell. We should strive to earn wealth through lawful means. And instead of wasting and surplus in wastefulness, help our needy and poor Muslims, brothers, financially. Spend as much as possible on masjid, madrasas, and other good deeds as well, so that we can earn a lot of blessings. You know, within this wasting, this is a lot in our society. We waste a lot of money. And what I mean by our society in nowadays is weddings. Allahu Akbar. Initially, in Islam, it is nikah and walima. That is what it is. Nikah is sunnah, walima is also sunnah. And this is what is bare minimum and what is required from us. The other aspects, the other, you know, functions and everything else that we add to it, the addition that we add to it, is all wasted. I mean, the amount of food that is wasted. You know, we order so much food with the worry that what are people going to say? We keep so many other functions, the clothes that we have to buy for those functions, the lighting that we do for those functions, you know, many other things that are not required. They're not even, you know, for a person to get married, it is only a simple nikah. And then after that, it is walima to call people and feed them. That is what is required. Anything other than that is wastefulness. The cars that we hire, that is not required as well. You know, the fireworks that we do, number one, that is haram in itself. Because if you think about it, look at the damage that we're doing. For example, one fire stick costs £20. It doesn't, you know, we work 2 hours to earn that £20. Our minimum wage isn't even that much. And we are setting fire to our own money. Within 5 seconds, we have just set fire to £20. How difficult is it for us to earn that money? And how quickly are we to waste it? I mean, if you think like that, then we will think twice before we spend silly money on these type of functions. So when it comes in spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we start to think, oh, should I give this much? Should I give that much? When it comes to, you know, giving and gifting to ulama-i kiram, you know, helping ulama-i kiram out as well. Remember, this is also rewardable as well. You know, Sayyiduna Imam Busiri, rahimahumullah, as Ustazab just quoted his famous Qasida Burda, this is also a sunnah as well. By gifting ulama-i kiram, this is a sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. It's what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. It's called Qasida Burda. Why is it called Qasida Burda? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gifted a chadar, a shawl, a burda to Sayyidina Imam Busiri. He gifted it. Why? Because he wrote this famous qasida. So in return of favor, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his dream gave that burda sharif to him. And then when Imam Busiri woke up, that burda sharif was next to him. So this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to gift and to give something to the ulama-i kiram, whether it's a form of a burda, whether it's a form of a money, whether it's form in any sort of way. It can be in any sort of way. This is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he did for Imam Busiri rahimahumullah. So when it comes to helping out ulama-i kiram, you know, giving them something, or when it comes to helping out masajid, madaris, you know, jami'atul madinas, all of these things, then we begin to think, should I give something? Should I not give something? £100 seems a bit too much. £200 seems a bit too much. You know, I need to give only £20, £10, £5. But then when it comes to weddings, Allahu Akbar, £50,000 on a wedding hall, £1,000 just for one car, for one day, £1,000. It takes for more than a month to earn £1,000 for certain people. For those people who are working, you know, who are not on that level of earning money, it takes them more than a month sometimes to earn £1,000. It takes 30 days to earn £1,000. And brothers and sisters want to spend that money in one day. Allahu Akbar. This is what you call wastefulness. When it comes to spending, we should spend wholeheartedly in the rightful way. In the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving to ulama is spending in the way of Allah, because when you give to ulama, their job is to spread the deen. When you spend in the way of Allah by giving to the masajid, that is the wage of the imam, that is the wage of the teachers, and that is taken out to give to the teachers. Why? Because they are giving their time to serve the deen. When we are living in this era, in this day and age, we should think about others. Look how the selflessness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. He always put others first. He always thought about those who are in need. He always gave so much that that individual was not in need of anymore. Subhanallah. We should always try to follow the footsteps of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ability. I would like to move to Ustaz Sahib for his final words on this topic.
Subhanallah. There are so many accounts, you've mentioned many accounts, Ahmed Raza Bhai, regarding the generosity of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anh narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said no to any beggar. Never said no. And we know from the Quran as well, Surah Duha, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرُ. And as for the sa'il, the beggar, when in need, don't turn him back, don't scold him. Don't dishearten him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said no to anyone. And if he had that thing, he would give it. If he didn't, then he wouldn't say the word no though, because no can be demoralizing, right? It was mentioned that once 70,000 dirhams were brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he distributed them while standing on a mat. He did not turn away any asker until he finished distributing all the wealth.
Allah.
Can you imagine that? 70,000 dirhams. If that came to us, we'd go straight to the bank. We'd go and bury it somewhere. We'd go and safeguard it. Right? 70,000 dirhams. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't that way inclined, because he knew that benefiting others leads to great reward. People are in need, right? Even look at today, where there are people whose net worth is 20 million, 50 million, 100 million. In reality, they're not going to be able to use all that wealth, but it's greed that doesn't allow them to part with that wealth and give to those in need, right? Some people do leave money behind for charity, they put in their will. What about right now whilst you're alive and your neighbor's suffering, a relative suffering, in need, in debt, in poverty? So the people have a lot now, but stinginess has crept in, right? Generosity is something that needs to be revived. And here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 70,000 dirhams. He did not turn away any asker until he finished distributing all the wealth, right? It says that sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would buy something from someone, right? He would pay the price, obtain the item, and then give the item back to them. Can you imagine? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pay for an item. He would receive the item that he paid for, transactional, but then he would gift it back to that person. Imagine the happiness, the khushi, the masarra, the joy that would enter that person's heart. Allahu Akbar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given me the money as well. That money was sufficient because it's come from the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine how much barakah that will lead to. But not only that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given me the item back as well. So in a sense, he's literally gifting me money. That was the adab of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, once he sallallahu alaihi wasallam bought a camel from Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, and then gifted that camel back to him. This was the adab of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, he bought a baby camel from Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiyallahu anhu, and then gifted it to his son Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So this shows you that it was an ada, but ada mustamir, continuous habit. There's not only one narration, several narrations state that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would buy the item and give it back to the person who sold it to him. And he would give things that he purchased to those in need, right? We should also follow this sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should give gifts to each other with the intention of bringing happiness to the heart of a Muslim. What does the narration state? That after the obligations, the greatest deed is to enter happiness in the idkhalus surur fi qulubil mu'min, in the heart of a believer. So gifting others, being generous to others, this is something that we need to work on. When we're alive, we're healthy, we're breathing, we have afiyah in our lives, we should help others. Because if we were in their position, if we were in the position of someone who doesn't know where the next meal is coming from, we were in the position of someone who is debt-ridden to the extent that he can't even think straight, his mental health has been affected, then we would want someone to put a hand around our shoulder, comfort us, you know, strengthen us, inspire and empower us. So now that we see people around us, and we can't say there's no one worthy of it, there's plenty of people worthy of generosity. We have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you know the hadith about whoever revives a sunnah in a time when it's been abandoned, then he has the reward of 100 martyrs. So this is also a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he was very generous throughout his lifetime. There's the accounts of how he showed that generosity even after passing away, by coming into the dreams of people, by feeding people who came to his Rawda Mutahara, who were destitute, they didn't have anything. So this is something that we need to work on. Inshallah, when we are generous with our wealth, with our belongings, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give us more, and this will create harmony, peace and unity in our communities as well.
MashaAllah, beautifully mentioned. Last few things for the viewers of Madani channel. You probably have seen, for those individuals who do pay zakat, the first year you've probably given £100, next year you've given £125, next year you've given £150, next year you've given £175. From this we realize that zakat, sadaqah, does not decrease your wealth, rather it increases it. That every year you are paying more zakat. What does that refer to? That refers to that you have earned way more, you have more wealth than you had what you had last year. So this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are truth. You know, he is as-sadiq, he is al-ameen. The words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are in front of us. That when you give sadaqah or zakat, it increases your wealth, it doesn't decrease your wealth. So my dear viewers of Madani channel, when it comes in giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way we don't think when it comes to spending money on our weddings, and our birthday parties, and all other worldly actions, when we don't think about it, then we will let it happen. You know, money is a coming and going thing. That's what words come out of our mouth. When it comes to weddings and all of these other functions, money is coming and going. But when it comes to the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serving the deen, serving the people of the deen, then we start to think, oh, should we give this much? Should we give this much? You know, that's a bit too much. Whereas it should be the opposite. When it comes to worldly actions, we need to work out, okay, this is too much. You know, we could do a bit cheaper than that. We can do a nikah in the masjid. Instead of spending £50,000 on a wedding hall, we could save that money and actually go and perform hajj with that money. And, you know, do nikah in a masjid instead. Save that money up instead. But when it comes to serving the people of the deen, we shouldn't think then. We should be like, you know, these are the people of the deen. Let us do their khidmat. And through doing their khidmat, they will serve the deen even more through that blessing. So dear viewers of Madani channel, today we have learned the generosity of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the lesson that we can learn from this is that the way Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would distribute his wealth amongst the people, we should also distribute our wealth amongst the needy people who are in need. But remember, as I said, always your family should come first. Look within your family, your brother, your sister, your nephew, your nieces, etc. Look at them. Are they in need? And then go out helping others as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase each and every single one of us in sustenance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The pride of both the worlds, from east to west, his praises soar. The pride of both worlds forevermore. The pride of both the worlds, the pride of both worlds.